All right, we're gonna get started. Honor your time. I know some of you here on your lunch break, and so we want to honor that. Of course, if you have to get up and leave, that's fine. We'll make fun of you when you're gone, and we'll talk about you, make jokes, and all that good stuff. In prayer for the last several days, a word just keeps coming up in my heart, and the word is distinction. And you know, as the body of Christ, there are some wonderful, or should be some wonderful, commonalities that we have. We you know, one Lord, one faith, right? serving the same Jesus, and one salvation. And so, you know, for the body of Christ in every local church, there ought to be some really commonalities, common ground, where it doesn't matter what denomination, what group, what camp, there are just some things that there could just really be, we can really find some common ground and fellowship around, and made brothers and sisters, right? And and so I think that's wonderful, and I think, you know, I think in any conversation, any interaction that we have with other believers from any other group, we should really keep that in mind, that we really do have common ground, and we can fellowship around that. On the other hand, there should be some distinction. And, you know, one thing's for certain, we're not in competition with any other church or any other group or any other denomination, right? Unless they don't believe in Jesus, then we're in competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they're if they're preaching the new birth and they're preaching, you know, salvation by grace through faith, well, then we can get along. But then there should be some distinction, and I want to talk to you about a distinction that I believe that our church should have. And you know, and again, it's not competitive. It's not, oh, we do this, that other church doesn't do this. Yeah, and it's very important to get the spirit of that, because we're not competing. And but you know, God's called us, and every church has its strengths. Every church has its, although we're all called to get people to save, every church has the way they go about that. And but I've just been praying, and this word distinction just keeps coming up. And one of our values as a leadership team is that we say it like this, that we are to live filled. And of course, we're talking about being full of the Spirit, and not saying that other churches aren't, but then we have a particular and a certain way or thinking behind that. When we talk about living filled, there's certain things that we're looking for in that. But anyway, I want to read a few scriptures to you, and then we'll go on. But that is one of our values, is living filled. And in Acts, the first chapter, verse 1, of course, Luke is the author of Acts, and he's also the author of Luke. And he said, "The former account I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Verse 4 says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water." And just a little side note, John didn't baptize with water, he baptized in water. And so the word "with" here, it should actually be "in." You don't baptize. Baptism, the Greek word, means to immerse. So you don't baptize with, you baptize in, right? So he said, John truly baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then it says in Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then he goes on, he talks about this. Well, this is one of our distinctions. And the Lord has just impressed upon my heart that we have not, and I'll just say it like this, I have not. How many of you know there's a lot of things in the Word to preach about? There's a lot of things to preach about. But he just dealt with me that we haven't embraced our distinction enough. And so I'm presenting it to you as leaders, and this is something that we are going to emphasize more. This is one of our distinctions. This is something that that if you want to put a difference in churches, and I'm not talking about in a weird competitive way. Y'all get that part? I feel like I need to keep saying that. So not in this weird competitive thing, but we're supposed to be, there is to be some distinction. And so he says here, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then you know the outcome of that. You know, people were mocking him, and Peter stood up and he began to preach. And among other things, he said in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so we see here that one of several manifestations of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit or the baptism in the Holy Spirit is, number one, people, they spoke with tongues. They all did. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak with other tongues. So it's the will of God that every believer, I know some groups don't and some churches don't teach this, but that's okay. They got their thing. That's between them and the Lord. But for those of us who say, no, we don't believe this has passed away. We don't believe that we're not cessationists. Cessationists. How do you say that? Cessationists. Let me say it like this. We don't believe it's passed away, right? It's these things are still available, and it's still the will of God. And and so this is a thing we need to emphasize. And so notice this. They were all filled, and they began to speak with other tongues. But then, Peter said this, another manifestation of this outpouring of the Spirit, which we are living in. And, he said, your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. So really what he's talking about, there's this supernatural flow. There's to be a supernatural flow. And with that in mind, turn with me if you would, or just listen. I know you probably didn't bring your Bibles, but only the real spiritual people brought their Bibles today. People. What did I say? Oh. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Sort of. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul starts off and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And the actual Greek is, now concerning things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to be ignorant. And then he goes on, he's talking about in chapter 12, 13 and 14, he's talking about a supernatural flow among believers and in churches. And among other things, he's talking about what we refer to as the gifts of the Spirit. And there's a difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, is the three gifts that say something: prophecy, divers tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then there's three gifts that do something: give the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. So those three gifts do something. All of these things are supernatural. And then there's three gifts that reveal something: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And so these are things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. I believe that this should be a distinction with us. And it doesn't, here I go again, you know, qualifying. It doesn't mean that we're more spiritual or anything like that. It just means if we have light on something, if we know something, well, then the Lord wants us to walk in that something. Amen? He wants us to walk in it. And so he's talking about these gifts of the Spirit. And then he said, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And he actually said this in another place. He said, desire spiritual gifts. And then he said, covet. Covet is a strong, strong word. I mean, it's a craving that you and I are supposed to have for these things. And so, you know, I believe that the Lord wants us to contend for these things. He wants us to, I mean, have this real desire, this real hunger, and cultivate this covetous. You say, I thought we weren't supposed to covet. Well, in this case, we are. I mean, we're to cultivate, I mean, just this this hunger. I mean, it's just, and we're not going to be satisfied until we see some of these things. And and so as leaders, I believe that this begins with us. Number one, that we embrace who we are. Amen. Yeah. That we embrace. This is a distinction that the Lord, number one, he's allowed us to see. He's given us revelation. Not all the revelation, but we see some things. And he wants us to embrace that and not be ashamed of it. Of course, I've never been ashamed of it, but he doesn't want us to be ashamed of these things. He wants us to embrace it and really put it out front. Is everybody going to like it? No, they're not. But we don't go by that, do we? What do we go by? This is the precious things that the Lord has given us, he's shown us, that he's given us light to walk in. And so we embrace it. And we emphasize it. And we put it out there. And like Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Amen. And so one way, and we got over into this a little bit in Bible school the other night, but one way that we cultivate a hunger for these things is, number one, the way I do it, and there could be other ways, but you read about these things in other people's, you know, other people who are experienced. You know, Joe Morris has a great book. It's called The Resurrection Lifestyle. And he just really breaking down the gifts of the Spirit and how they operate and what they look like. And I mean, Lester Summerall's got a great book called He Gave Gifts Unto Men. Brother Hagin's got a great book on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, a lot of people have, you know, great books. But you begin to read not just the theology side of it, but the practical experience, and then you begin to see, and I mean, it'll stir you up. It'll stir you up. And so I want to encourage us as leaders to really press in this area, because, you know, it doesn't matter what we believe individually. It doesn't matter what we But it's when we come together and there's this point where it just kind of takes over, right? It's contagious. So when we're hungry for it and we're talking about it and we're emphasizing it, it becomes contagious. Other people get hungry too. Amen. And I believe that we'll begin to see more. You know, saying all that, how many of you know that Sunday was wonderful? Yes. Wonderful service. And so I was asking the Lord about, you know, we talk about, you hear the word revival and, you know, people are, you got people say, well, I know there's a revival coming. And, well, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. He's never been retracted. So the potential for a move of God has been with us for 2,000 years and is with us now, a potential for a move of God. And so there's things that can obstruct, but it doesn't mean that God's not willing, right? And so one thing that can obstruct a move of God is just not having an understanding of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Well, people getting saved is a move of God.
Amen.
I mean, you think about what has to happen,
yeah,
for somebody to get saved.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got the devil,
yeah,
influencing them and has been influencing them for years.
Yeah.
And I mean, in a moment, their eyes are open. I need Jesus. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. And so people getting saved is a move of God. People who are, you know, they just get this, have this realization, you know, I need to be baptized. I got baptized before. It didn't mean a thing to me, but you know, God's moving on me right now. That's a move of God. I just read, well, I didn't read, so a friend of mine shared this on Facebook. For the first time since the 1950s, more men are coming into church than women are. That is a move of God. That's a move of God. And, you know, and so if we're looking for something else, we can completely miss it. And if we're looking for something else, we won't be thankful for what He is doing. Oh, but man, when we realize that's God, that's God, that's God, that's God, and we rejoice over it, God just give us more. He'll give us more. Amen. So let's hunger. Let's hunger after these things. Let's desire. Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up. Stir up. Everybody say, stir up.
Stir up.
Stir up. And you can stir up by reading these things. You can stir up by praying in the Holy Spirit. You can stir up like that. Spending time with God, you can stir up like that. I mean, tell the Lord you want to be a carrier of, you know, of His goodness, of His glory, of His power. You are, but I mean, just practically. Just tell Him you want to be a carrier. And man, he'll begin to work in you. Amen. All right. Well, thank y'all for coming. What are we going to do? Stir up.
Stir it up.
Stir it up. We appreciate you all. And I appreciate your leadership and your influence. We're grateful.